Today's shir is Masechet Baba Kama Daf Chaf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Ches Amid Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, in the bottom of Daf Chaf Ches Amid Aleph, in a situation if somebody's pitcher broke and there was just a rabbim, and then somebody slipped on the water that spilled out of the pitcher, or he got hurt by a piece of the pitcher itself. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Miskaven, if it was done intentionally, is chayiv, and ein miskaven is potter." And we need to understand what does Rabbi Yehuda mean. Says the Gemara, "Heichi dami miskaven." What does miskaven mean? Omer Rava, what miskaven means? Miskaven lahirida lamata miksefai. When he was taking the pitcher down from a shoulder, while he was taking it down, he stumbled, and his pitcher smashed against the wall. And now somebody got hurt from that occurrence. Ask the Rishonim. We've learned earlier that Ein Darkon Shmnei Odom Lizboinim Midrachim. It's not the way of people to really pay attention to things that fall and break. So Rishonim says, so how can we say over here that a person should be held responsible if the pitcher falls as he's taking it off? So the Rishonim respond that even if we follow the opinion of Ein Darkon Shmnei Odom L'Zboinim Bedrachim, it still doesn't mean that a person, when he knows he's likely, it's possible for something to happen, he shouldn't pay attention. And when somebody's taking off the pitcher from his back, it's a time when it's likely for it to slip, and therefore everyone has the responsibility to pay attention that nothing should happen. Amar Abaye, says Abaye, if Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's chayiv in this situation, and Rameyer, as we learned in the Mishnah, is even more strict, and he holds that chayiv even be'ein miskaven, what would that mean? Mechlal de mechayiv Rameyer afil nifshiro. That if somebody was holding the pitcher and disintegrated in his hands, according to the opinion of Rameya, one would still be chayiv. Amalei says yes. And that's the explanation of the Mishnah, that mechayiv hayu Rameya afilu ozna biyadai. According to Rameya, if the pitcher, if he's holding the pitcher and it just disintegrated, and in fact he's left holding the handle of the pitcher, he'll be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, "Mai, but why should he be held responsible under those circumstances? Onus who? Isn't he an onus for onus rachmana patre?" And we know that throughout the halacha, the rule is that you're not chayiv when you're an onus. The ksiv, where do we know that from? Because the Torah says, "Lo nara leisas adover." If a woman who's a nara hamarasa was violated, we don't punish her because she was an onus. So ask the Rishonim the obvious question. We just learned the other day that Adam Mu'ad La'olam, that a person is always held responsible. So why over here does the Gemara want to suggest, and actually that's what the Gemara is going to say, that the person is not held responsible? So the Rishonim give two answers. One is the opinion of Tosfos that we've cited many times. The Tosfos says that even though we know Adam Mu'ad La'olam, by Oynus Gomer, by a pure situation of Oynus, a person is not responsible. And this is certainly a situation of an Oynus Gomer. Others say that, and we said this pshat also, that even though there's a halach of Adam Mu'ad La'olam, and a person is held responsible, even in a situation where he's an Oynus, that is when the person, the Adam HaMazik, when the person does damage, but when it's mamon hamazik, when it's a person's property that does damage, there is no halacha, there the halacha of oinus applies. It's important that when we discuss the concept of oinus, to understand what does oinus mean and what does oinus not mean. And one of the ways of helping us understanding it is by repeating a famous story from the Bris Gerov. The Bris Gerov says that there was a story with Esrig was brought for the Bris Gerov, and it was hard to get it out through customs in Eretz Yisrael, and the Bris Gerov asked people who were close to him and people who had the ability to try to help get that esrog out of customs to do everything in their ability to get the esrog. But they weren't being successful. And Sukkos already began, and it was Chol HaMoed, and still the Brisker Rav said, I want that esrog, and even though it's already past the first day Yontif, everybody should try to do whatever they can to receive the esrog. And with all of the attempts to obtain the esrog, they were still not successful. And it's Shana Rabba, and they saw that all of their work will have gone, and they won't be able to get the esrog. So they were scared, these people, to approach the Brisker Rav and tell him this, knowing how anxious he was to receive the esrog. Yet when they approached him and told him, they saw that he was not upset at all. And they asked him, here you tried and you pushed us so much, you pressured us so much to try to get the esrog, and then when we finally told you it's not going to happen, we didn't see that you're upset. He says, the halacha is oinus rachmana patrei. A person has to do what he can do. So until the last moment, until the Shana Rabba, I tried everything and I tried to ask you to do everything humanly possible to get the esrog. Once the time comes where it's clearly a situation of oinus rachmana patrei. However, the Chassidish Sfarim explain oinus rachmana patrei is, why does it say oinus rachmana patrei? It should say oinus patrei. If somebody's an oinus, he's pata. Why does the Gemara always add the word rachmana? So the Sfarim explain, it's very easy to say that something was a situation of oinus, but it's not for sure that it really was an oinus. Who's the one that truly knows if it was an oinus? Rachmana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if it's an oinus, but when is it an oinus? Rachmana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who really knows the truth, knows that it truly was an oinus, and it's not just an excuse, then, and only then, Patre, are you legitimately excused. But then I saw, from the Rebbe Rabbunim, Mepeshischa, says even deeper. He says, oinus rachmana patre means that oinus, if somebody is an oinus and he couldn't fulfill a mitzvah that he wanted to fulfill, rachmana patre, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the mitzvah on his behalf. And he says, that's pshat in the Mishnah, Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Yontov Shal Rosh Hashanah, Shechali is b'Shabbos. The first day Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, b'migdash hayutaken avloim medina. They would only blow the shofar in the base of Migdash, but not anywhere else. It's the halacha that we're well familiar with, that Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar. So the question is, the Mishnah uses the words yontif shal Rosh Hashanah. We know Rosh Hashanah is not a yontif, and the Mishnah usually doesn't call it yontif shal Rosh Hashanah. Why here does the Mishnah use the words yontif shal Rosh Hashanah? So he explains. Again, it comes the first day of Rosh Hashanah, person wants to blow the shofar. But if it's Shabbos, he's an oinus, and he doesn't have to, and he doesn't blow the shofar. So as we said, who does the mitzvah kaviyochel on his behalf? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we do a mitzvah ourselves, says the Rebbe Rebunim, we're not quite sure that we're doing the mitzvah properly. Do we have the proper kavanah? That we do the mitzvah with all the halachic requirements. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the mitzvah, then we know that's done 100% perfectly. If it's the first day is a Rosh Hashanah, is on Shabbos, and we're not going to blow the shofar, but we're going to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel blowing the shofar on our behalf, it's a yontif. That's a yontif because that year we know that the shofar was truly blown properly. So again, the Gemara's question is, if our Mishnah is referring, according to Ramey, even to a case of an oinus, and still Ramey holds that you're held responsible, how do we understand that? V'chitem, says the Gemara, perhaps you say, that when is there an exemption for oinus? Hani milo in yiktala, only by capital offenses. Avlin in zokin, when it comes to damage situations, chayiv. V'tanya, but that's not true, because the Brisa says, nishbar kadav loy silkai, if somebody's barrel broke and pitcher broke and he didn't pick it up, nafal gamloy If his camel fell and he didn't pick it up, Remeya holds him responsible. He's potter. He's not chayiv on the a bezdin can't obligate him, but min shemayim is chayiv. And it's important to point out that we have in a number of places throughout the Masechta concept of potter medine odom chayiv medine shemayim, as we've discussed ourselves. Grama benazikin, that halacha grama benazikin is potter medine odom chayiv medine shemayim. But the Rishonim debate how to view that type of situation, where if somebody did nezek to someone else, but it was only, and it was a situation that Bezdin can't obligate him to pay, it's only Medina Shemayim. Is it considered that he's really obligated to pay, or is he really considered not obligated to pay, but if he wants to go Lefnim Meshuras Adin, he should pay? And it's actually a Machloikus Rishonim that has very relevant ramification. If he's really obligated to pay, just it's Bezdin who can't extract the money, then the halacha is until he pays, he would be possible, he would be disqualified to be an aid. If, on the other hand, he's really exempt, then if he wants, he could pay, but he's not really obligated to pay, then he would be considered still a kosher aid. Says the Bryce, the Chum agree with Rameya. If somebody put a stone or a knife or a package on top of the roof, and they fall down in Ruch Metziah, Shuchayiv. On the other hand, Ramei agrees, if somebody puts up jugs on the roof in order to dry them in the sun, if it was a ruach she'ena metzuya and they did damage, shupater. And Tosfos points out that why does the Braisa speak first about avnas sakin and masoi, and then about a jug? So he says avnas sakin and masoi are things that typically people don't really value, and therefore a person doesn't pay attention that it may fall in a ruach metzuya. On the other hand, a kankan is something that has value. So of course a person's going to be careful to put it on the roof only in such a way that a ruach metzuya would not affect it. What happened was, what came here was a ruach she'ena metzuya and it fell. So we see the Rameya holds that if it's a oinus, you're potter. So what's pshat in the Mishnah? Elam Rabaya, says Abaya, the way to understand the Mishnah is betarti pligi. There are actually two machloikis of Ramei and Yehuda in the Mishnah. Pligi b'shas nefila, they argue if the pitcher falls as he's taking it off his package, as he's taking off the baggage, or pligi lach nefila, and they're arguing it if it did damage after it fell. And the Gemara explains, pligi b'shas nefila, the machloikis is if it falls as he's taking it off, is the machlokes that we began this year with. Nisklep Asheya. If something falls as he takes it off, is the person considered a Pesheya? Marsova, the Tanakama Rameya holds that he's considered Pesheya. Umasova and Rabbi Huda holds Niskel La Peshehu. It's not considered a Pesheya. There's a machlokes Rishonim that according to Rameya, a Niskel is considered Pesheya. We know that when it comes to the halachas of shomrim, a shomer chinam is exempt. Only the only time a shomer chinam is chayiv is a peisheya. Is as far as hilchus a shomer chinam, as far as hilchus shomrim also is considered a niskel, considered a peisheya or not, or is pshat the machlokes of shomrim is as follows. Do we say that a niskel is a peisheya, and if that's the case, then by a shomer chinam he would be chayiv? Or do we say that a niskel is just not an oinus, but he's not that he's a pesheya? If the understanding is that a niskel is just not an oinus, then the halacha would be that he would be potter by a shay mechinim. And then there's another machloikus, pligi l'achar nefila. Then there's another machloikus after the item fell on the ground, and the machloikus is regarding mafka nezakov. as we've explained as recently as in the previous year. There's machlokes tanon, when exactly is something a situation a bar. One man d'amar says, and that's going to be the opinion of Rameyer in our Mishnah, that even if you're mafka a bar, if you created the situation a bar, it's considered a bar. Whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that if you were mafker the bar, then it's not attributed to you, and it's not the mazik a bar. The mazik a bar is mafker shusoy v'loy mafker bayrei. Where I own a piece of property with is a bar, and I taka made the property hefker, but not the bar. So according to Rameyer, he was mafker this thing that fell on the floor. But according to Rameyer, it's still considered a bar. Masav and Mafka Nazaka of Chayiv. That's the opinion of Rameya. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds Masav and Mafka Nazaka is Potter, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you will Mafka the item entirely, it could no longer be considered a bar. Ask the Gemara Mai, what forces a buyer to say that there are two distinct machloikas in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Midatani Tarti, because our Mishnah spoke about two cases. Our Mishnah spoke about Huchlak Echa B'mayim or Shalaka B'charsis. If somebody slipped on the water or somebody got injured by a piece of the pitcher. Says the Gemara, Hainahach, aren't they both the exact same situation? Why does the Gemara have to speak about both cases? Alav Hachkama. The way to understand the Mishnah is Huchlak Echa B'mayim B'shas Nefila. The Mayim is referring to the case where somebody slipped as he's taking the pitcher with water off his back. Oy, shalok b'chasis, and as the Rishonim explained, typically a broken piece of the pitcher, everybody is mafker, it's lach nefila, and you have this broken piece of the pitcher left on the ground. Is that considered a bar or not? Is the machloikas that we just described of Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, umidimas nisim b'tarti, if we've explained that the Gemara, the Mishnah, is arguing regarding two cases. And we're going to learn, like Tosfos explains, that these two cases, these two rules, are two separate cases. One is the Shaila of Niskal Pasheya, and the other is if somebody was Mafka Nezakov. If somebody created a situation of Hezek and Rishus Rabbim, but he was Mafgarit, and it makes no difference what was the initiation of the story. Was it an oinus, or was it a pshia? According to Tosfos' explanation of our Gemara, which we're following, in both cases, Rameya will hold that it's considered a situation a bar, and Rabbi Yehuda will not consider it a situation a bar. Said the Gemara, umidimus nisim betarti, if we explain that the Mishnah is referring to these two machloikasin, b'raisa nami betarti, we'll explain that the b'raisa that we spoke about when somebody's pitches broke or somebody's camel fell, also is referring to two cases. So express the Gemara. Bishlam Akadoi, the Braitha that speaks about the pitcher breaking, we can understand as we understood the Mishnah. Mishkachs lo shas nefila, either there's a machloikas, what is the din if it causes damage as it's being taken off, the machloikas of niskal pasheya, oila achin nefila. Ela gamloi, but the case of the camel, how do we understand that case? Bishlam al achin nefila, to understand the case after the camel fell, mishkachasla, that the camel fell, and the person was mafka nevlosoi, he was mafka the corpse of that camel, and the machloikis of the braisa is if somebody is mafka nezakov, is it considered a bar, or is it not considered a bar? Rameh says it is considered bar. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not considered bar. El b'shas nefila, how are we going to understand the case that it did damage as it fell? Heichem shkachsla, exactly what is the situation? Omer of Acha, kigoyin da'ovr b'maya, is referring to a situation where the camel passed through water. Derech srat denara, what happened was that the river overflowed and he walked by the side of the river where it was wet, and that's how it stumbled. And the machlokes between Ramei and the Chachamim is it considered? It's a situation of niskal pasheya. Ask the Gemara, Heichidami, exactly what is the case that we're referring to? If there's another route that the camel could have taken, that's clearly a situation of pshia. If there is no other way that the camel, why'd you take the camel in a way that it could slip? If, on the other hand, the lekadaka chrina, there is no other way, and this is the, all the roads are flooded, so anus who? And we said that even Rameyer agrees that in case of anus, he's potter. Says the Gemara, elam shkachsla, the case is the iskel viskel veigamla, where the owner was walking, and the owner stumbled, and the camel that came, that he was pulling, stumbled along with him. And what the Bryce is teaching us is that according to Rameya, that subscribes to the concept of Niskel Pesheya, so not only is the person who stumbles considered Pesheya if he falls, but also the camel that is connected to him, we also apply the concept of Niskel Pesheya. Says the Gemara. The Mishnah, when it mentions Rabbi Huda's opinion, said Miskavin. So it says the Gemara, what's Pshat Miskavin if we're saying the Machlokes to Rabbi Huda Rameyer is regarding Mafkin Azokov? Mafkin Azokov, the Rameyer holds it, is considered a bar. And Rabbi Huda holds, because he was Mafkin Azokov, it's not considered a bar. My Miskavin Ika, what kind of concept of Miskavin is there? Amar Rabbi Yosef, B'Miskavin L'Skos B'Chaseh, that if the person wasn't mafker the pieces of the pitcher, then even Rabbi Huda will agree that it's a situation of bar. The Ken Amar of Ashi, the Miskavin Liskus Bacharaseho, where he intended to take the pieces of the pitcher, he wasn't mafker them, and it'll be considered a situation of bar. And here we have a very interesting machloikus, Harishonim, how to understand this case of Miskavin Liskus Bacharaseho. Some Rishonim say that unless the person specifically is mafker the pitcher, until he specifically mafker the pitcher, it's considered his pitcher, and even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it will be considered a situation of bar. Other Rishonim say just the opposite, that as soon as the pitcher falls down, and the pieces which are essentially worthless, it's not a bar. It's considered certainly hefker. Only miskavin liskus b'charseha, where the person intends to take ownership, is it considered a bar? Without that specific intent, we assume that it's hefker. Rabbi Lazar says, b'shas nefila machlokes. The machlokes of Rab Meir and the Chachamim is regarding when it fell. So if we look at Rabbi Loza's statement, it seems to be saying, Aval Achan Afila, after the item fell, my Wawabir Alocha, Divrei Hako Potter. Everybody will agree that it's not considered a bar. As to Gemara, we can't explain Rabbi Loza that way, because Ve'ikar Rameya the Machayev. Rameya clearly taught us that if after it falls, and even if the person was mafkerit, according to Ramey, it's still considered a situation of bar. Elamai. So why are you going to say Rabbi Loza means that after it fell, Direhakol, Chayiv, everybody's going to hold that it's considered a situation of bar, and he's held responsible if he leaves it and doesn't pick it up? Says the Gemara, that's not true. Because the Ikar Rabbanan the Patri, the Rabbanan hold that if you were mafkerit, it's not considered bar, and you're not Chayiv. Says the Gemara, Elamai, B'shas Nefila. How do we understand what Rabbi Loza says when he says B'shas Nefila? He means to say, Af B'shas Nefila. That not only is there a machloikis after it fell, but even as it falls, there's a machloikis. The Kamashma could Abai, and actually he's telling us what Abai says, that there are two machloikis of Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda. There's a machloikis as it falls, the machloikis of Niska Pasheya or Niska La Pasheya, the machloikis after it falls, and the person is masquerade, is it considered, if you were masquerade, still a bar, the opinion of Rameya, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not considered bar. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says, La'achan nefila machloikis. The machlokes is after it fell. Ava b'shas nefila, according to this understanding, what will be the halacha as it falls? The rehakel potter. Everybody will agree that the owner is not liable. Ask the Gemara, v'ha midah, come Rabbi Yochanan, come on. We're going to learn a Gemara mitzvah shem and daf lamed aleph, where Rabbi Yochanan says, loy tem mas nisen remeihi. You can't say the Mishnah's, that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameyah, because Rameyah is of the opinion, niskel pashayahu. Mechlal, so we see the Rameyah Mechayiv. The Rameyah holds you are held responsible for what happens as it falls. So we can't say that Rabbi Yochanan means to say that everybody agrees that as it falls, your potter. Elamai, what are you going to want to say, Rabbi Yochanan meant to say? That every Hakol Chayiv, that if something happens as it falls, everybody agrees that you're Chayiv. Says the Gemara, you can't attribute that type of an opinion to Rabbi Yochanan either. But Hamidikam, Rabbi Yochanan, come on. Again, since we're going to learn, Rabbi Yochanan says, Loi Taima Masnis Rameihi. Don't explain the Mishnah's following the opinion of Rameyah, that holds Niskel Pesheyahu. Obviously, it's following the opinion of Rabbanan, who hold Niskel's Lapesheyah. So we see that Rabbanan are of the opinion that if something happens as it falls, you're not Chayiv. So it can't be that Rabbi Yochanan holds that if something happens b'shas nefila, everybody agrees that you're chayiv, or everybody agrees that you're potter. So how do we understand what Rabbi Yochanan meant? So ask the Rishonim, why don't we explain Rabbi Yochanan the same way we explain Rabbi Elazar? To say that Rabbi Elazar is saying that not only are they arguing after they fell, but they even are arguing when it fell. And we'll understand Rabbi Yochanan that not only are they arguing after they fell, but they're also arguing as it fell. So Mefarshim explain. To say that the machloikis is when it fell is a chiddush. Because to say that even as you're taking it off and it slips, your chayiv is a chiddush. And that's the chiddush in Rabbi Elazar. We can't attribute that chiddush to Rabbi Yochanan. So what is pshat in Rabbi Yochanan? Says the Gemara, Elokamashmalon, the mafkin nezok of the hachu the patri rabbanan, the onesu. Only it's in this case, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, that if it fell because it was an oinus, and then he leaves it there and he's mafkir it, that's when it won't be considered a bar. Ava mafkin nezok of the alma. Let's say somebody deliberately left something in Rishus Rabbim. He deliberately placed something in Rishus Rabbim. And then he says, you know what? I'm mafkarit, and I should not be held responsible. Rabbi Yochanan will hold that in that case, even the Rabbanan will agree that it's considered a situation of bar. Only in our Mishnah, where it fell, ba'oinis, and then he was mafkarit, will Rabbi Yehuda hold that it's not a situation of bar. But where he put it there deliberately, he can't then say, I'm being mafkarit, and it's not going to be a bar. Itmar. Says the Gemara, mafkin is okof, if somebody was mafkar, something that is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, we have machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar. Charam achayif, charam apotam. One says it's considered a situation of bar, and one says it's not considered a situation of bar. Says the Gemara, Lema, should we perhaps say, demand the Mechayev, Kremeya, the one that says that Yechayev follows the opinion of Rameya, that holds that even if you mafkar something, it's still considered bar. Or man the Potter holds like the Rabbanan, that holds that even if you mafkar it, it's not considered bar. Says the Gemara, Alivid Rameya, if we follow the opinion of Rameya, Kulam Loi Pligi, we have to say that there is indeed a machlokes. Because according to Rameyer, it should be considered a bar, and should be chayiv. And therefore, his opinion cannot be consistent with the opinion that holds Potter. Ki pligi aliv the Rabbanan. The question is regarding the Rabbanan. Man the Potter, the one says that if mafkin is okov, it's not considered bar. Clearly holds like the Rabbanan, as we've been saying, that if somebody is mafka the nezek, the Rabbanan hold that the item in Rishus Rabbim, it's not considered a bar. Or man the mechayiv, and one that holds that this is still considered a situation of bar, Omoloch, could say to you as follows, another amri afilu Rabbanan, my position could still be consistent with Rabbanan's position. For at kan lo ipatri Rabbanan, when would Rabbanan lenient, El b'mafkin nizok of the hocha, like the case of our Mishnah where the item fell down ba'oynis, and then laying in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he was mafkarit b'shem da'anasu, because he began as an oynis. Ava mafkin nizokov, as we explained, if he deliberately placed an item and was just rabbim, did halacha will be, and then he wants to declare it hefker, and it should not be considered a bar, did halacha will be that he mechayvi, that he's actually considered, the rabbanim will agree that it's considered a situation of bar. So we had a machloikis, Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, what is the din by mafkin nezakov? One says chayiv and one says potter, but the Braisa did not identify who holds what. Says the Gemara, Testayim de Rav Elazar Huda Mechayiv. Perhaps we should have a raya that it's Rav Elazar who holds its chayiv. And it's interesting to note that the Mefarshim point out that usually when the Gemara uses the words Testayim, that's what's actually a valid proof. Here, even though the Gemara is attempting to say that Rav Elazar is the mandama that holds the Matfkin Zokov is chayiv, actually it doesn't, the Gemara and the Maskana doesn't hold that way. So Mefarshim explained, only when the Gemara uses the words testayim twice, that's when the Gemara means to say that it's indeed that way. But when the Gemara doesn't say the word testayim twice, then the halacha is that it's, that's not the halacha. So the Gemara wants to say testayim de b'lazo om techayiv. Let's assume that Rabbi Elazar is the man that says that's chayiv. Why? Damar Rabbi Elazar Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Shnei Dvarim Einem Rishus Shaladim. There are two things that are not under a person's, actually a person's possession. However, V'asa Ankasav Kilim Rishusai. The Torah treats it as if I own them. Ve'elahim Bar Rishus Rabbim. That even though it's a bar and it doesn't belong, yet Rabbi Elazar holds that the person is held, who made it is held responsible for chametz mishay shas lamala, chametz on Pesach, that even though at that time a person's chametz automatically becomes hefker, still if a person has chametz after that time, it's viewed as if he owns the chametz and he's over la yirah for the lavim of la yirah and by your matzah. It's interesting to point out that our Gemara is saying that if somebody has chametz on Pesach, even though midaraisa it's hefker, he's still going to be over by your raw by your matzah. Now, machloikas apoiskim, exactly two interesting shailas. One shaila is it's erev Pesach, after Shei Shos, and a person realizes that he did not sell his chametz. Does he still have the right to sell his chametz? Some places can say that until Pesach actually begins, he's not, he could sell his chametz. Other places can say that it's too late. The Divrei Chaim has a tshuva where in Europe, the minhag wasn't as it is in America, where everybody nowadays, where people sell their chametz through the rabbanim. Rather, everybody would sell the chametz by themselves to a guy. And a person sold his own chametz to the guy, and then erev Pesach in the afternoon, he realized that the shtar, the document through which he sold the chametz, wasn't properly signed. Could he now sell the chametz? So says the V'chaim, under those situations where a person attempted to sell the chametz properly, certainly he could consummate the deal. What will be the halacha if on Yontif it sells, on Yontif a person realizes he has chametz and he wants to sell it? Can he or can't he? The Chassam Sofer says that it's too late to sell the chametz at that point. The Chazon Ish says that certainly he, it's if it's in his rishus, as our Gemara is suggesting that he's going to be chayiv for bayiro bayimotza, it's also in his rishus that he could still sell it. So testayim, we seem to have a proof from here. The Rabbi Elazar is the mandam that says that even if you don't own the chamit, if you don't own the bar, you're still liable for it. It says the Gemara, Omi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, is this actually opinion of Rabbi Elazar? From Rabbi Elazar Ipcha, we see Rabbi Elazar holds differently. because we see how Rav Elazar is the Tanan. We're going to learn a Mishnah in the next daf. If somebody turns over dung in the Rishus Rabbim for Huzuk ben Acher, and now somebody gets damaged by slipping on it, Chai ben Nisqai. The person who put the dung there is liable. Vomer Belozer, Loi Shanu Elish Niskaven Liskus Behen, only if he intended to acquire it, Avaloi Niskaven Liskus Behen, if he didn't intend to acquire the Golo, Potter, because it's Mafkin Chasad. Ama Mafkin Zokov is Potter. There it's referring to a situation, Shechzir Lamakonma. We brought back to original spot, and he wasn't the person that put it there originally, and therefore he will not be held responsible. He can only be held responsible when it's not, when he moved it from its original spot. And in fact, the Paiskim used this Gemara to teach us a very interesting and important din. Let's say I'm walking in the street, and I see a stone, I see a rock on the street, and I want to push it to the side so nobody should chas v'sholem stumble on it. So I push it to the side, and now somebody stumbles on it. I'm going to be chayiv. Because I, by moving the stone, even though my intentions were very, very honorable, but I, by moving the stone, have created a new bar. And by creating a new bar, it's not the original bar that the first person put down, and I will be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Om Ravina, Moshe Rav Adabar Hav L'ma David Daima. How do we understand the situation of Rav Adabar Hava? L'maitzi bar Megula V'chisua. If somebody finds an open pit, and he covers it, V'chazavi Gelua, and then he uncovers it again, he's not going to be chayiv, because he wasn't the one that created the original pit. So the Rishonim have a very interesting situation. Here the Gemara is saying that if somebody made a pit and then somebody covers it up, let's just go a little further. Amalei Mazatu Bereid Rav Mori L'Ravina. Me dummy, are the cases the same? Hasam lo yistalek l'maiseration. If in the case of a person who covers a pit, the original digging of the pit was not undone, so therefore the one who dug the pit is still responsible for it. Hacha, however, in the case of the person who moves the golo, yistalek l'maiseration. The first act was undone, therefore he becomes responsible. So therefore, says the Gemara, holy dummy, how can we compare this case? If somebody found an open pit and he fills it, and then he digs it, the stalkul ma'aserishin, the first act becomes undone, the time lebrishusoy, and becomes the pit of the second person. So now we could say what we wanted to say, that the Gemara says that if Reuven digs a pit and Shimon fills it, and then Shimon removes the earth, now Shimon is responsible for the bar, because everything that Reuven did is talak meisurishin. Why would we the halacha that Shimon didn't fill the pit? He just put a cover on top of Reuven's pit, and then he removed the pit cover. There, the open pit become again is Reuven's responsibility, not Shimon. Since the pit was merely covered, not filled, it's not considered istalak ma'aserishin. However, the Ravid says that Reuven would only be held responsible in a case that he was aware that Shimon removed the cover and left the pit open. However, if Reuven knew that Shimon covered the pit and he was never informed that the cover was removed, according to the Ravid, Reuven would not be held responsible. However, the Rambam doesn't make any such distinction. And it seems that the Rambam holds that even if Reuven wasn't informed, he will still be held responsible. Explains the Magen Mishnah, the opinion of the Rambam. Since Reuven did not cover the pit himself, or ask somebody to cover it, we can never expect Shimon to notify him that he's covering it. That's how the Magen Mishnah explains. The Evan Ozel, Rabbi Issa Zalman, explains the Rambam's opinion as follows. That even if Shimon's removal of the cover is considered Ruach Shen Mitzuya, Reuven is still responsible. Because even though normally, as we said earlier in our shiur, in a situation of Ruach Shen Mitzuya, one is considered an Oinus, says the Evan Ozel, that a Mazik who did not perform any Shmira doesn't have the excuse of Oinus. The exemption of Oinus is only by somebody who did an adequate Shmira. Since Reuven never properly covered the pit, he doesn't have the exemption of Oinus. It's also interesting to note that the Avni Nezer uses this Gemara regarding a halacha in Bishul Akum. He says that we know that if somebody causes a food to be cooked to Machal Ben Drusoy, if a Jew causes a food to be cooked to Machal Ben Drusoy, then that food can no longer be subject to Bishul Akum. Says the Avni Nezer, what would be the halacha if the food was removed from the fire before it became Machal Ben Drusoy, and now a goy puts it back on the fire, then we will have a problem Bishul Akum. Because by taking the food off the fire, we again have the concept that Agamara says of the stalakal hu maiserishin, the original act was removed, and the original act of Bishul Yisrael ends, and we have a problem of Bishul Akum. Ella, so now the Gemara attempts to explain Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Ella Marvashi, b'shahavchal afox mishloisha. Rabbi Elazar is referring to a case where he turned it over less than three tefachim. Since he picked it up less than three tefachim, to make a kinyan you need three tefachim. Therefore, he's not chayiv unless he actually acquires the golem. Ask the Gemara. Why do we have to explain that he picked it up less than three tefachim from the ground? The time of the kinas gavon liskasba, and they say when he's chayiv only if he had kavana to acquire it. Ha'em iskavid liskasba. But if he didn't have any kavana loy, look mevelamal mishloisha. Why can't we explain that he actually picked it up above three tefachim? Vavgav d'loin iskavin liskasba, and even though he didn't intend to acquire it, he'll still be chayiv because he picked it up above three tefachim. Amarava, mesnitzin kshisha. What forced us into this pshat is the wording of the Mishnah. My area hofach. Why did Mishnah speak about turning the dung? Listening bia. Al shmamina kol hofach lemata mishloishahu. It's less than three tefachim, and only therefore if he intended to be koinet is it his, otherwise not. Ask Taisus. Does this mean to say that if you intend to be koinet something, you don't have to do any ma'aser kinyan? That was saying here, it's only because he didn't intend to be koinet, it makes a difference if he picked it up or not. Answers Taisus. Here we're dealing with an item that's hefker. Since we're dealing with an item that's hefker, their mere intention is adequate. But certainly, if I'm being koinet an item not from hefker, I need more than just intention. So now we see Rav Elazar's demand on that says yechayiv by nizokin that are hefker. So if Rav Elazar mechayiv, we have to say Rav Yochanan potter. Ask the Gemara, Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that Mafkin Azokov is not considered Hefker Vatanan? Again, we're going to learn in the Mishnah tomorrow. Hametznias Akaitz Vazakuchas. If somebody puts a thorn or a piece of glass in the Rishus HaRabim, Vagoy the Gidra Bekaitzim, if somebody makes a fence out of thorns, Vagedah Shnuffel Rishus HaRabim, or a fence that fell into the Rishus HaRabim, Vuzuk Ben Acher, Chai Ben Nisgoy. If somebody gets damaged, it's considered a situation of bar. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Loish Shanu, when we spoke about the thorns, we're talking about El Mefriach, where the thorns go into the Rishus HaRabim. Al Metzamsim, if the thorns remain in his property, Potter, he's Potter. So we see that even though it's Hefker, he's still Chayef. Mitzamtzim explains the Gemara. Mitzamtzim, my time Potter. Why is if he keeps it to his own Rishus, he's Potter? Lam Shum Davalei Bar Rishusai. Because it's considered a bar in his Rishus. Mechlal, what do we see that Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds? That it's only Rishusai we don't have a bar. But obviously, Rabbi Yochanan holds the chiyuv of the bar in Rishus HaRabim, that you are responsible for bar in Rishus HaRabim. Alma Obviously, he holds the mafkin the zakov is chayif. Says the Gemara loy loyelam emelach mafkin the zakov is potter. Umetzamtzem my tam potter. So if so, why is he? If he put the thorns into his own property, why is he potter? Says the Gemara mishum deit melo, not because it's not a bar. If he keeps the thorns in his property, nobody can have any claim to him to be countable, because it's my property and I have no reason to assume that people are going to rub themselves against these thorns. But it could well be that bar is only Bereshusai. Says the Gemara, how can we say that Rabbi Yochanan is the man to Omer that holds bars brishusai? Rabbi Yochanan always said the halachas like stam mishnah. But tonight, a chayf for bar brishus rabim. If somebody makes a bar brishus rabim, the nachal of taif is sharach amar v'mes chayiv. So we see that bar brishus rabim, which is not the area that I own at all, Rabbi Yochanan, the stam mishnah which Rabbi Yochanan follows, holds it's a bar. Ela oilam Rabbi Yochanan mechayiv. Rabbi Yochanan says that a bar, even mafkin azakov is chayiv. Says the Gemara, amid the Rabbi Yochanan amin chayif, it was saying Rabbi Yochanan's man damon says that mafkin azakov is chayif, Rabbi Lazar amin is potter. Ask the Gemara, v'omer Rabbi Lazar b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, then we see that Rabbi Lazar says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that mafkin azakov, that if somebody has a bar in the shus rabbim is chayif, like Kasha lo hadi day, the one that holds the mafkin azakov is not a bar, is the opinion of Rabbi Lazar himself. This, that he says that if you have a bar b'shus rabim yichayiv, is not his own opinion, but rather, how the Rebbe, it's the opinion of his Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel. And it's interesting, the Mefarshim point out that Rabbi Lezer actually never met Rabbi Shmuel. Still, since Rabbi Lezer said halachas in his name, Rabbi Shmuel is already considered Rabbi Lezer's Rebbe.